Let's say something and let's see if it will pick you up.
The list of questions that I gave you, very much like the ones that I prepared later, Nancy,
when were you elected, Mrs. Moore?
I was elected to the House of Representatives, Louisiana, in 1940 and served one term, 1940-1944.
Where and when were you born?
I was born in Dunkirk, Indiana, the second of six children born to Ora Alice Evans Hawthorne and Charles Hawthorne.
When did you move to Shreveport?
It was in 1907. I was enrolled in the Lyon Avenue Grade School near our home. My most vivid recollection of that school is my trip down the fire escape, a large cylindrical monstrosity that still stands on the south side of the building as a reminder to me of that unpleasant experience. That first fire drill introduced me to the hard clay of Louisiana.
What led to your interest in politics?
Well, specifically, I had a burning desire to improve public education in our state.
Please elaborate on that.
I attended public schools until the year of 1913, at which time my older sister, Iva, and I became boarding students at St. Vincent's Academy, Shreveport. My father, being in the lumber business, was cutting out a large tract of timber in the vicinity of a small place, Westdale, some 30 miles south of Shreveport. My mother wished to join him, which she did. There was a one-room grade school at Westdale, which the younger children attended. There was no high school there. I was graduated from St. Vincent's in June 1916. My sister was graduated the previous year. It was my ambition to become a teacher, and I was anxious to attend the Louisiana State Normal at Natchitoches, now Northwestern State University. There were no laboratories for physics or chemistry at St. Vincent's, so I enrolled for lab work in those subjects at the Hope Street High School, Shreveport. Meanwhile, my parents had moved back to Shreveport. Upon completion of this work, I went to the Louisiana State Normal, where I was required to take entrance examinations in all my subjects. I completed my two-year term there on May 26, 1919. When I was at St. Vincent's, newspapers and magazines were not available to students, but we had up-to-date, excellent textbooks. At the Normal, when I became a member of the class in civics taught by Professor Santamon, I was far from being knowledgeable on the subject of government or current affairs. During a class, I asked him how property was assessed and the taxes collected. He said, "Miss Hawthorne, my five-year-old daughter wouldn't ask that question." I picked up my books and left the room. I was working part-time in President V.L. Roy's office, but said nothing to him about what had occurred between me and Professor Santamon. The next day, realizing that I needed the credit for the civics course, I went back to the class. Professor Santamon was very cordial, and it occurred to me that he wondered if I had discussed his remark with President Roy. I considered the incident the result of my ignorance, and gritting my teeth, I decided to make a continuing study of government. Upon returning to Shreveport after my graduation from the Normal, May 26, 1919, I applied for a teaching job. Professor C.E. Byrd, a native of Virginia, and Caddo Parish Superintendent of Education, hired me at $100 per month. He assigned me to the Hope Street High School for the summer and to the fifth grade of the Alexander Braid School for the following year. Mr. G.C. Kaufman, the new principal at Hope School, asked me to return there for the next summer session. And during that session, he asked me to remain there for the following year. It seemed that I was able to teach math. If that was true, it was attributable to early training by my father and later training by Sister Mary Constance Capeless, St. Vincent's Academy. I also was fortunate in having able math teachers at the Normal. I taught at Hope Street School until the Christmas holidays when I married Waldo W. Moore, December the 28th, 1920.
After marriage, did you continue to participate in any educational endeavors?
Yes, I did some substitute teaching and later much PTA work. Our two sons, Waldo Hawthorne Moore and Charles Whiteman Moore, born 5 years apart, were students at Cresswell Grade School and C.E. Byrd High School. The contacts with other parents, teachers, and principals inspired me to increase my efforts for quality education in Louisiana.
How did these activities bring about your desire to run for public office?
Well, it was as president of the Cresswell Parent Teacher Association in 1938 that I realized that resolutions passed by organizations often receive little attention and few results. Up to this time, I had given no thought to becoming active in politics. However, when one of our local school principals suggested that I run for the Caddo Parish School Board, I decided to run, realizing that I could be more effective in improving public education if elected to that body. My slogan was to provide every child an equal opportunity for an education. End of quote. I was defeated. On the evening following the announcement of my defeat, my husband, noting my disappointment, said, "Well, in 1940, you should run for the legislature. You received a substantial vote and met a large number of citizens in this election. The opportunity for bettering public education is much greater in the legislature than in the body, the school board. As you know, I did run for the House of Representatives."
How many candidates were there in that race?
There were 23 men and myself. Most of the men were lawyers. At that time, 1940, Caddo Parish was allocated 4 representatives, all to be elected from the parish at large. At the present time, each House representative is elected from a designated district of the parish. It was more difficult to campaign in 1940 as Caddo Parish is almost as large as Rhode Island. Also, the thinking and interests of the electorate was more diversified. In 1940, there were 2 political factions in Louisiana, the pro-longs and the anti-longs. As I was new to politics, I made it clear that I had no axes to grind and that if elected, I would represent all the citizens of Caddo, regardless of their political allegiance to the longs, the anti-longs, or if they were independent. I believe that I was elected by voters from all 3 groups.
How were you received in the House of Representatives?
Like any other member, with great respect. Mr. R. Norman Bauer, Speaker of the House, set the tone of our proceedings, and at all times courtesy was observed. Mrs. Doris L. Holland, St. Helena Parish, the only other woman in the House, and I were treated as the men were, courteously.
What were your committee assignments?
Well, it was my desire to chair the Education Committee, but Bill Dodd had already requested and been promised that chairmanship. Governor Jones and Speaker of the House, Mr. Barra, appointed me to the chairmanship of the Committee on Charitable Institutions and to membership on three other committees, education, registration and election laws, and the House printing.
You must have stayed very busy.
Yes, I did. During both the 1940 and 42 sessions, I was absent only one morning. I left Baton Rouge late one evening and returned the next day at noon. The purpose of this absence was to see my husband off to Fort Bliss, Texas. He was in the Army Reserve and was called into service, leaving Shreveport June the 3rd, 1942.
You mentioned having served as chairman of the Charitable Institutions Committee. Much of your time must have been devoted to that committee. What efforts were you able to devote to improving public education?
I introduced three bills designed to help public education, and I worked very hard for their passage. First, a bill to provide a 12 grade school system throughout the state. In 1940, Louisiana was one of six states having only 11 grades. Many parent-teacher associations throughout the state were backing the bill, as well as some parish education superintendents and some parish school boards. Caddo Parish Superintendent E. Weldon Jones and the Caddo Parish School Board expressed their approval. Much of the opposition to the bill came from South Louisiana legislators. I was serving at the time as legislation chairman of the State Parent Teacher Association, and the state organization, as well as the locals, were backing the bill. When I realized that I lacked a few votes in the House and that the bill was in trouble, I considered making the 12 grade system optional by parish. Well, when Mr. Godshaw, the chairman of the State Board of Education, learned of my intentions, he called me long distance to object, stating that we would have a hodgepodge system with some parishes clinging to the 11 grade system and some initiating the 12 grade system. I understood Mr. Godshaw's reasoning and did not attempt a local option, and the bill was defeated. Second, another of my bills, which I thought would benefit education in our high schools, was my anti-fraternity sorority bill. In Shreveport, the C.E. Byrd High School, opened in 1925, was alive with sororities and fraternities. Mr. Grover C. Kaufman had been transferred from Hope Street School to become its first principal. Byrd High served large areas of Shreveport, some of them very rich, some very poor. It seemed to me that ambitious mamas should not use a tax-supported school to promote their children socially, and that education was suffering because of these secret organizations. There are other reasons that I won't try to go into. The introduction of this bill brought many messages, some pro, some con. Of course, the jewelers who sold the fraternity and sorority pins objected, as well as some organizers who would feel the money loss. I was amused when I realized that one Shreveport father, a medical doctor, had wired his support of the bill, stating that, quote, "only a few socially ambitious mamas oppose your bill," end of quote. A wire from the doctor's wife vehemently opposed the bill. I shall never forget one public hearing of the bill before the House Education Committee to which the bill had been referred. J. Fair Hardin, a Shreveport attorney who had the respect and admiration of all those who knew him, appeared and presented arguments in favor of the bill. I shall never forget his presence, for he had driven from Shreveport to Baton Rouge in hazardous weather. The rain was coming down in sheets, but he had told me he would appear, and he did. This bill was passed by the House Education Committee, the House, the Senate Education Committee, and failed in the Senate. Some senators who were pledged to me to vote for the bill sat as if paralyzed. The third, by way of trying to help the high school children of the state who participated in competitive athletics, as well as their parents, I introduced a bill to make it mandatory that school officials carry insurance on these children. This bill was referred to the House Public Health Committee, of which I was not a member. This bill never came out of the committee. There were two medical doctors on that committee, Dr. Toler and Dr. Fernandez. And each time that the bill was called up, they would speak against it, labeling it, quote, a bill leading to socialized medicine, end of quote. Of course, there were objections from school officials too, with, quote, we can't afford it, end of quote.
Weren't you disappointed that your bills failed?
Oh, of course I was. But the press and the radio all over the state gave the bills much publicity, and I came to grips with the fact that often being ahead of the times leads to defeat, as surely as being behind often does. Oh yes, there was another bill of mine that did save the education funds $300,000. It was House Bill number 169 to repeal Act 163 of 1938. Act 163 of 1938 authorized expenditure of $300,000 out of the severance tax, from which the school funds are taken, for the purchase of lands forming part of the battlefield site of the Battle of New Orleans, and so forth and so forth. The money had not been expended, so my House Bill 169 passed would be effective. This bill was called the Chalmette Bill. It was passed by the Education Committee, the House, and the Senate. The House, the Senate, and was signed by the governor.
Did you sponsor any bills related to the charitable institutions and public welfare?
Yes. Most of these bills, there were eight of them, were bills to bring our welfare laws into compliance with federal laws. President Franklin D. Roosevelt requested such compliance if we were to continue to receive federal money for grants and so forth. Governor Jones asked me to sponsor the bills. There was little difficulty experienced in their passage as Louisiana wanted the money. One of the bills related to the reorganization of the administration of the state charity hospitals and other state institutions. There was some local opposition to that bill, which was written in part to cut down on local boards and to set up central boards and a central purchasing office in Baton Rouge. I might add here that between sessions, I visited the charitable institutions at my own expense to acquaint myself with their needs.
Since you were a member of the House Registration and Election Laws Committee, in what way did you participate in its work?
President Roosevelt asked all states to enact legislation giving servicemen the opportunity to register by mail and the opportunity to vote by mail. He sent model bills for enactment. At the beginning of the 1942 legislative session, it was my privilege to introduce and sponsor a bill giving the Louisiana serviceman the opportunity and right to vote by mail. This bill was prepared for me by Mr. Frank J. Looney, Shreveport Attorney at Law and Authority on Louisiana Election Laws. We did not use the suggested bill sent to us by the president. There was a small error in the bill called to my attention by a New Orleans leader. I requested that the bill be returned to the committee for correction. Mr. K, chairman of the committee, asked if I objected to substituting the committee name on the bill instead of my name. I did not object. It appeared with his name and the committee's name on the final bill. Mr. Frank J. Looney and I had put a great amount of work into that bill. We did not enact a law giving the serviceman the right to register by mail. My objection to this suggestion made by President Roosevelt was that the time a citizen had to register every 4 years to vote. If he had not registered prior to his military service, he would be home at least once every 4 years, and if interested, he could register at that time.
A local newspaper banner line stated that you were the only House member to vote against the administration's civil service bill. Why?
Well, it was my opinion that the bill would not obtain the efficiency that it was supposed to. It was to become effective 1 year after enactment. And why the delay? Politics. And all state employees were to be frozen in without competitive examinations. Some very prominent businessmen wrote to me criticizing my vote. What most people did not know was that I read the legislation that came across my desk. This bill was later declared unconstitutional.